Good morning, sweets. It's good to see all your lovely faces again. Oh, thank you. And if you can turn in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews. I don't know if Ron told me I'm supposed to stand here. Am I supposed to stand here, Elijah? Ronnie tells me these things. Yeah, this is where I'm supposed to stand. Little people were using the stand. Sorry to our online people. You're going to watch this later on today. Our live stream failed again. But as you can see, we have hope is coming. High-speed internet, fiber optic. I was trying to explain to my daughter what fiber optic means. And I don't know if you guys know this, but it's a glass tube that runs down the road. And it's the speed of light. And so I was telling her it's 1,000 up and 1,000 down for speed. What are we getting now? She says. I said, we get 50 down. This is 1,000 down. It's like mind-boggling fast. She says, well, how can they promise that to every single person along the road? And I said, you don't understand. This is the speed of light. She's like, well, how fast can light flash? Is it faster than you could even wrap your brain around? And it's just the wonder of creation that God created light. He spoke and there was light. And that is the source behind our faith, is this God who creates something that, you know how far the sun is away from us, right? And yet that light can travel all the way here in just 8 minutes time. Like, that's just mind-boggling fast. And so we're going to look at faith today, and we're going to define faith. So Hebrews chapter 11 is one of the famous chapters in the Bible. And we know what I mean when I say a famous chapter. If I was to say to you 1 Corinthians 13, you say? If I say Romans chapter 7, you say? Wretched man, right? Oh, what a wretch. If I say Romans chapter 8, it jumps into who shall separate me, right? What a great chapter. If I say Revelation 21, have you never been to a funeral? It's the heaven chapter, the heavenly city, right? No more tears, no more dying. If I say Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And Psalm 51, the Psalm of repentance. It's the Psalm of repentance. Now let me say this one, and hopefully you get this one. Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so Hebrews 11, first of all, defines faith, and then it exemplifies faith in the life of believers, and then it's also this amazing summary of all of the Old Testament through these Old Testament characters. And so, oh wow, we are going to have an amazing time as we go through this chapter. I've been looking forward to this the entire time that I've been leading up to this, going through the, not that the rest isn't good, but for me, this is kind of like my Romans chapter 8. It is the climax of this book. It is the pinnacle or the peak of this book. But the word faith today, if we were to just hear faith in the public arena, people hear faith, they talk about faith in this broad, sweeping term. And really, when the world thinks of faith, they have faith in faith. Faith is this substance in itself. It's in and of itself, it is something. It doesn't need to be attached to anything. They just believe, right? It's like that person that we met, this one person that we met in the Philippines who told us that they don't read their Bible. They just love Jesus. They don't attach their faith to anything. They just love this person about Jesus that they never read about or never look at or never look into. So as we look at this chapter, we're going to see that, first of all, there's 31 mentions of faith in the letter to the Hebrews, and 24 of them are found here in this chapter. And faith is foundational to this entire chapter 11. And so it's very important that we get these first few verses in order for us to understand this definition of what faith is. That's our goal today. And so let's look at the scripture. Now, faith. In verse 1, chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And so we're looking at just that first verse today, which contains a two-part definition. One, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And two, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So first of all, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so before we look at these two verses in, or these two parts of this definition in look at it closely, we need to roll back to the chapter, this chapter division that just wasn't quite right. And that is back in chapter 10, you'll remember in verse 38 that there's a quote from Habakkuk 2:4, which says that now the just shall live by faith. You see, that should have been included in chapter 11. Chapter divisions, by the way, are not inspired. Chapter divisions are just kind of placed there. And sometimes I almost think that the chapter divisions were done like this. And they just point to a spot. There it is. Just put it there. You know, and they did their best, right? They did their best, but it's not an inspired thing. If you're memorizing scripture, you don't have to memorize it chapter and verse. You can just memorize the content. That's the inspired word of God. Just memorize the whole book. But chapter divisions are oftentimes in the wrong spot. And we need to realize that this starts off with this Old Testament quotation. The just shall live by faith. And this particular Habakkuk reference, this quotation is actually central to the whole Christian faith. It is central to the New Testament. We see that Paul quotes it in Galatians. He quotes it again in Romans. We also know that this was the verse that was a part of Martin Luther's salvation and subsequent reformation. This is a very important verse in the Bible, and that is that the just shall live by faith. And therefore, we need to define faith. Amen? Because if you shrink back, not looking forward in faith, but instead shrink back and doubt God and doubt his word, you shrink back to destruction. Remember that? And so that's why we need to look at how important this is. Everything we do as Christians springs from faith. You cannot come to Jesus apart from faith. And you cannot follow Jesus apart from faith. You know, when we first come to him, it is an act of faith. And as we follow him, it is faith. The reason why is because when you put your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are instantly heaven bound, right? Remember the old song, Heaven Bound? Tracy almost was singing it in her head there, old DC Talk song. Heaven bound, we are instantly heaven bound. However, guess what? We're still on this earth. And we're still dealing with temptation. We're dealing with tribulations and trials. In fact, my old pastor in Simcoe, he used to say this. He said, you know what? It'd be so much easier if we could just, you know, they get saved. We baptize them. We just hold them under just a little longer, right? We go instantly from new life to eternal life. He said, my job would be so much easier. I told Kaylee this on the way up. Whoever comes with me to church gets to hear the sermon in advance. And Kaylee looks at me and she's like, you know, did he really say that? Like, that's really scary. That's very scary. And she's like, is he still alive? I'm like, yeah, he's a lawyer now. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I hope he doesn't hear this, a libel suit going on here or something. But it's not libel, it's truth. He actually said that. He said other things too. He also said, yeah, I wish he could just have a gun in the pulpit and then at the altar call, he'll just shoot them all. He really got his point across. But I tell you, as a young man, these things, you know, really stuck out to me and made me think, yeah, why does God not just take us instantly to heaven? And then he explained to us, it's because God has a purpose for us here on this earth. That this is part of God's plan, that this is part of his purpose in our lives, is that we would be glorified as we live out this life in the flesh, as we put our faith and our trust in him, and as we walk this walk of faith, it brings glory to his name. So we don't just start by faith, we live by faith. And so many times Christians get this wrong. They start by faith, and then they start living this life of legalism, and they start to just kind of live a life that it could be a life that somebody who doesn't even know Jesus could live, because they're just living out of human effort. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later in this message. But just to illustrate that, I did a motorcycle test a few years ago. I have my motorcycle license. I don't have a motorcycle, but I have a motorcycle license. I like to get all my licenses because in my opinion, the government's just going to make everything harder in the future. Because that's what we pay them to do, is make everything more difficult, make more red tape, and it'll just keep getting worse. So get all your licenses now, okay? Gun license, fishing license, anything you have to do a test for, get it. Boat license, another one, get it. But motorcycle license, it was easier back in the day, and so I went out to Canadian Tire and I did the driving test, and the lady that was doing the driving test, you know, signed these papers and fill out these forms. I did it, and I got on my motorcycle, or my dad's motorcycle, and I drove the test, and I did really well, and I knew I did really well. I thought, I nailed this thing. Just as I was pulling into the parking lot, all of a sudden it stalls out. I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, I don't have gas. I just ran out of fuel. And so what are you going to do, right? She's still watching me. I'm hoping that she's not going to see what I'm about to do. And so I actually Fred Flintstone this thing across the parking lot. Now, my daughter looked at me funny. She's like, what's Fred Flintstone? I'm like, my goodness, you poor children. Seriously, you are missing out. To Fred Flintstone, have you watched Fred Flintstone? No. So Fred Flintstone had this car without an engine in it. And so what he would do is he and his family would use their legs to pull the car forward. I'm like, why didn't they just walk? Right? Now they got to pull this giant car forward. But this is what they did. They used their legs to, can you imagine getting to church like that? You know, mom and pop would just sit there and they'd say, okay, you make this car move, and they would just joyride to church. But here's the thing. This is how many Christians live their Christian life. I came up to the lady and she did see me. She said to me, she goes, what happened? So I ran out of fuel. And she said to me, look at the paper that you signed before taking this test. I certify that my tank is full of gas, signed Wesley DeVries. Like, who reads these things? I said to her. She's like, you lied. It is not full of gas. You ran out of gas. And as Christians, you look at it and you say, well, you know, well, where did in the Bible does it tell us, you know, I know we're saved by faith, but where does it tell us that we need to live by faith? Well, Galatians 2:20 says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is important. You know, when you decided to follow Jesus, you made a decision not just to be saved by faith, but to live your life as a life of faith in which you are trusting God in every aspect of your life. That's why Paul told the Galatians in 3:11, he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? He says to them, he goes on in verse 2 to say, this is what I want to figure out from you guys. He says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by what you did, by what you can accomplish, or did you receive the Spirit by the word, by the hearing of faith? He says, are you foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh, by your own human efforts? In other words, it was Christ who made you perfect. It is Jesus who began this new life in you. And now we need to live this life by faith in the Son of God. But many times as Christians, we start out, I trust you, Jesus, because I know my sins are too big. They're too giant for me. I can't do this. So I trust the sacrifice on the cross. And then what do? We trust Jesus, and then we start falling into legalism. And we start thinking, oh, I can handle this. I got it from now, Jesus. And we start Fred Flintstoning it the rest of the way. And Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? We are to live this life as a life of faith. And so how does the first part of this verse define the term? It says faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. The Greek word here for substance, it is giving the understanding of a foundation. And so what we learn is that faith is the foundation of your hope. You see, hope is something that you look forward to. It is a future looking forward to something. Some of the things that we will receive in this life and some after this life. But it is a looking forward. And what Paul is saying is that faith is the substance. It is the foundation of what you hope for. It is giving substance and a firmness, something you can rely on. For the past 20 years, I have been living in century homes, triple brick with rock foundation. And I tell you, those homes, they're solid. Those homes were built right. You know, it's incredible that way back in the day, they knew what they were doing when it came. You know, you look at a lot of modern foundations and you see cracks and you see foundations caving in. And you're like, wow, you know, the guys who built these major structures and they're so heavy. And yet the foundations are still standing the test of time for like hundreds of years. Just blows my mind. But the point is that it's built on something that has substance. It has a foundation. And therefore, that is what we are to have our hope in. Our faith is a strong foundation that gives us assurance regarding the things that we hope for as followers of Jesus. And so because faith is the foundation of our hope, we need to define hope as well. And Christian hope has its own definition. The world, once again, just like faith, they have faith and faith. They say, I believe, I have faith. It doesn't mean anything to them. And the world also has their own definition of hope, but their hope is a hope in hope as well. It's just a, you know, I hope so. You ever talk to somebody and they're like, you know, how you doing? Well, I'm, what's going on in your life? And they're like, yeah, things are getting better. I hope so anyways. It's just this vague hope. And you know what? It's something that's good. It means they have wishful thinking, and it's somehow it's good for their minds. I guess they're not going to worry. But the thing is that Christians, we have backing to our hope. Our hope is built on a foundation. It's not just built on nothing. It's built on something solid. You know, I was really glad to be living in a brick house after living in a house that was on a kind of a cinder block foundation that was leaning, and the house was rickety. And one day we had this twister come through our property, and it was powerful. It picked up our chicken coop and carried it about a half a kilometer away and dropped it out by the woods, snapped trees in half going through the woods, and it passed right through our yard. And I remember feeling like this house felt like I was just a bunch of sticks that were going to fall down. And it felt like, you know, we weren't going to survive this thing, I thought. I thought it was a tornado. It ended up being a small twister. But I remember thinking after we moved into our new house, how solid it feels, how safe it feels. And I'm like, bring it on now. Where's the tornadoes now, right? And this is what we need to understand, is this is the type of foundation that we have. Paul says in Romans 5, 3-5, he says, and this is why we can glory in tribulations. When storms come, it's like, bring it on, whatever. I trust God. He's got me through this. It's not like we want bad things to come or hard things to come. But we recognize this, that knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In other words, when we see the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us, it gives us the substance for our faith. We recognize and we see that this love is something from outside. It's a love that we could never conjure up on our own. It's so great. It's so deep. It's so powerful that it gives us substance for our hope. So faith is the substance, the foundation for things hoped for. Does that make sense to you? That's the first part of this definition. The second is that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is evidence used for? It is to give proof or certainty or conviction, to convince somebody of the truth. Now, some of you may have watched the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse this week, and you can't help but watch some of it or hear some of it because it's all over the world, all over the news. And at one point in the trial, the defense asked this young man who had pointed a gun at Kyle, and he was showing him a video, and he asked the young man, he says, are you pointing your gun at Kyle at this point? You're 3 feet away. Are you pointing your gun at him? And the young man said, no. And then he says, look again at the picture on the screen. Are you pointing the gun at Kyle right now as you stand 3 feet from him? He looks again. He's like, yes. You can't say, you know, whatever you believe on the trial. I wasn't into it that much. I just kind of saw that and was just like, wow, that defense was doing a good job at making sure that this man was held to account for the fact that he actually was pointing a gun at the person that he was saying, you know, shouldn't have shot at him. And so I looked at that, and what it told me is that there was clear evidence here that this was the truth, that he actually, in fact, did something that he denied doing. And so when you look at this in light of the fact that faith is the evidence of things not seen, evidence is to prove or to convict us of something. That we have this unseen universe, this unseen power, unseen principalities and powers and rulers and angels and demons, and there's stuff happening all around us, and God is working in his power, and we don't see these things, but faith is the evidence of things unseen. It is to convict us and to make us realize that there's more happening than meets the eye in any given situation, that we are to live in light of that reality, So many times as Christians, we live as if all that's happening is just flesh and blood and science and just the world doing its thing and people doing their things, and not realizing that there's powers and forces all around us, and that God is dwelling in us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Right? So we need to open our eyes so that we live in light of the fact that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is proof, certainty, conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 10:1 uses the same word of things. So when it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 10:1 translated that same word, things, as reality. So if we were to take that translation or that another way of taking the word and bringing it in, faith is the evidence of reality not seen. I love that. It's just not just, you know, things that are obscure, but it's actually reality unseen. An invisible reality. Faith is the evidence of realities not seen. And so the Christian faith is not based on wishful thinking, but rather unseen realities. So faith takes hold of the invisible and brings it into our reality. It brings it into our peripheral so that we can see the unseen by faith. You know, each of our senses does this. Our eyes translate the light. They allow light into our eyes. I was blown away when I found out that the eye is just 1 megapixel. Did you know that? We talk about megapixels in these days. It's just mind-boggling how many megapixels are involved in optics for electronics. But the mind is, or the eye is just 1 megapixel. And the reason for that is it just focuses on one thing at a time. But it's a marvel. It can't be replicated. It is an incredible organ. And it allows in the light and allows you to bring into your understanding the realities of objects that are in front of you. Same thing with hearing. It allows you to translate things that are happening around you based on acoustics. And it's amazing how it translates that, and how it's shocking, because you don't know how amazing it is until these things stop working well, right? And then you're like, oh man, then you understand that how amazing and how important our senses are, each of our senses. And this is how all of our senses work. Well, faith, in a sense, is a type of sixth spiritual sense. It is a spiritual sense in which invisible realities become clear. It is the evidence of invisible realities. And therefore, you know, I mean, just to illustrate this, how important it is to have our senses. Colby, our dog, he's getting very old, and he can't hear anymore. And so it's a little bit frustrating. I never thought about how challenging it is to have a dog who can't hear. But he comes and he scratches on the door, right, in the morning. He wants to come in the house. And so we open the door for him. It's cold. The wind's blowing in. And we want him to come in the house. But guess what? He's sitting there staring off into space. And I'm like, Colby, Colby. And we have to physically stomp on the floor because he can still feel vibrations. And then he comes in the house and I'm like, oh, you poor old dog, right? This is just his reality now. And it's frustrating because he can't perceive. He's missing out on a whole sense of what's happening all around him. And so it's a real struggle for him. Well, for Christians who don't have faith, you're missing out on a whole reality all around you, simply because you have not awakened this important sense that you, this sixth spiritual reality sense called faith, the ability to perceive that which is invisible. At the same time, we need to determine what faith is not. Faith is not faith if you can see it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we live by faith and not by sight. In other words, if you can see it, it's not faith. Doesn't that make sense to you? If you can see it, it is not faith. Paul says in Romans 8:24, for we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? It's just very plain. It's very simple, but it's important to know these things. Because you don't need faith in areas in which you already have the resources or the ability to do something. And so, you know, for example, when I went off to Bible school with Angie, we were $3,000 short. You know, I had saved $20,000 by the time I was 18, but I needed some more in order to fulfill the plans of what we're doing because we couldn't work when we were in the States because we didn't have a green card. And so I remember thinking, oh man, I was a little stressed out, so be anxious for nothing, right? So pray by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So I prayed. And guess what? $3,000 check came in the mail. It was just this confirmation. But on the other hand, if I had $50,000 in the bank and I was like, God, please provide for me for school, that's not faith. Because why are you hoping for what you actually see, what you actually have? So faith is not faith if you can see it. Also, if it's not real, it's not faith. If it's not real, it's not faith. That's the other important thing. I know it sounds silly, but it doesn't matter how sincere you are about something. If you believe something that is not truth, if it's not real, it is not faith. You can call it faith, but it isn't faith, because Christian faith is based in reality. Remember we said that. It's evidence of realities unseen, not imaginary things unseen. And so as Christians, we base our reality, our understanding of the unseen, on the word, the truth of God, based on his word. And so we always look towards his word. And so now we know that faith is the foundation of your hope, and it is the evidence of unseen realities. And so it's good to have that definition. I'd encourage you to memorize that. When I put it out in by email or on Facebook, it'll be in the description. I'll put that definition in the description. But you're going to notice as we go through this chapter 11, you're going to see that the heroes in the hall of faith were all unsatisfied. And this is something that's important that you keep your eyes open to as we go through this chapter. And it's something that I have to present to you today, along with our definition of faith, because if you're in the Christian life and you're just kind of satisfied, you're like, I'm just really happy with my life. I could just, you know, do my thing and, you know, just keep on doing whatever I'm doing. And there's no dissatisfaction. I'll just continue on. I'm not talking about contentment, because, I mean, the Bible does tell us to be content. I'm saying that we need to be unsatisfied in the sense that we recognize that there's a reason we're here on this earth, that God's called us to a purpose, and that we don't settle in to the ways of the world and the things that the world is satisfied with, but that we have an understanding, a deep hunger and a longing to do the will of God and to see God glorified, and that you are not satisfied with the way of the ways of the world, that you're not satisfied with the things that are happening in the world, and that you are engaging in your Christian life in such a way that it necessitates faith. That there's going to be challenges in front of you because of this dissatisfaction, this hunger to see God's will done in your life. That there's going to be this dissatisfaction and this desire to see change in such a way that there's going to be gaps in your life. There's going to be things that you cannot do, that God is challenging you to do, people to talk to, things to accomplish that you look at and you're like, in the natural realm, there's no way that I can do that. There is no way I can say those words. There's no way I can carry on what you're asking me to do. I can't do it. It's not possible in the flesh. It is not possible based on my education, my character, my personality. It's not possible financially or physically or, you know, mentally. It's just, I can't do that. And that is where faith comes in. Faith is where God fills in those gaps because he is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of unseen realities. And therefore, he can accomplish in your life. But I'll tell you, if you're satisfied with this life, you don't need faith. And then you can just skip this whole chapter 11 because it's talking about things that don't concern you. However, I believe better things concerning you, as the writer of this letter to the Hebrews said to his hearers, things that accompany salvation. In other words, I believe that you are called to live a life of faith, and I believe that inside of each of you is a dissatisfaction, a sense of, you know, hey, something needs to happen here. Sweets needs a bigger building because we're going to reach more people. Amen? And so somebody comes along that says, hey, let's see this happen because I believe God can do this here for this little country church. You know, that things are happening inside of this church family, dissatisfactions, where you're looking around and you're recognizing needs and you're recognizing what God's calling you to do, and that you're going to, over the next couple weeks or months, as we look at the Old Testament heroes of the faith, you're just going to rise up with faith yourself and expect great things because we serve a great God. We must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.